Good morning. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I'm a garden landscape designer, a garden expert, a horticulturist. I love talking about plants and helping people with their plants. So this is the show for you if you love to garden. And we're going to be taking your calls today. Have a great show lined up for you. June's a great month. Lots of holidays in June. And we're so glad to have you here. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning.
How have you been?
Doing good. Just busy turkey stuff and yard stuff and then hurricane prep stuff. So yeah.
There's a lot to do in the landscape this month. And it's just one of those just months where you got to like watch for hurricanes, which is really good. There's no hurricanes in the Atlantic, the Gulf of Mexico, nothing's going on
at this moment. But sometimes mentally, it's better to go ahead and pretend that there's one coming. So this way you are overly prepared. So whenever, you know, tentatively, not that we always get them around August, September, October, but at least you're prepared by the time
right.
you get one.
And that's important for new people to Florida. We have a lot of new residents and it is it's a good thing to be prepared. So I do appreciate that. I want to say good morning to some of our new listeners. We got a lot of new listeners. Robin and Frank and Phil and Rainey and Greg, Michael, Fred, and good morning to Ira. Ira's not new, but he's just a favorite. And then Alan and Paula, thank you so much for participating on our Facebook page and liking. We have post our photos there. And also some of the topics that we talk about here on Better Lawns and Gardens. Weather. Okay, everybody needs to prepare for ducky weather next week. We have a lot of rain coming. And when I say a lot, it means that every day next week is between a 40 to 60% chance of rain every day. And so that is so good. It's so important. We need it. But 1.5 inches to 2 inches is all a landscape needs. And we are going to get next week probably 2 to 4 inches.
Okay.
So irrigation systems don't need to be going on and we don't need to be watering our lawns. So the rains last week or over the last month has really brought down the drought. Now, the villages, you guys at Marion County, you're still in a severe drought situation. Moderately drought is Lake County, Volusia, Palm Coast, and southern Brevard County. Out of a drought, most of Orange, Seminole, southern Volusia, northern Brevard, and the northwest corner of Osceola. So that's really good. I think we'll just catch up for the whole state by the end of the summer, and that will be good. But just listen to these rainfall amounts, Lizzie. Between January and April 2025, Orlando received 4.02 inches. 4 inches of rain. Now, usually we get 2 inches a month, you know, at least 2 inches during our wintertime season. We only got 4 inches for 4 months. Rainfall since May 1st, 13.83 inches, nearly really? 14 inches of rain since May 1st.
Really?
Yeah, so that really, really helped. Leesburg, the first of the month, 3.36 inches. You have gotten 6.29 inches, 6.3 inches rainfall since May 1st. Melbourne, 4.17 inches. You've gotten 5 inches of rainfall. Daytona Beach, you had a similar 4.17 inches of rain, 7.61. So you've got an increase. And then Sanford, you got nearly 4 inches January through April. And then in the rainfall since May 1st, nearly 10 inches of rain. So that's pretty good for Mother Nature to help us catch up like
yes,
that.
Yes, definitely.
So I love that. And the rain chance again this week is going to be really heavy. So we do need the rain. We apologize to all the tourists coming in, but we do need the rain. Turn off your irrigation systems. But this is also a chance. Sunday and Monday is going to be a little bit less rainfall and probably a really good chance to have 5 to 6 hours of dry weather. So that if you have fungicide or fungus issues in your lawn, on your shrubs, for your fruit trees, if you have fungal issues in the past, it's a good time to go ahead and spray fungicide. That way you stay ahead of the game. So go ahead and do that. A fungicide, follow the label instructions. I get asked all the time, well, Teresa, how much? Or what's the measurement? Follow the label instructions.
Yes.
That sometimes changes. So I could be telling you something that's old news and not important and not relevant. So just go ahead, read the label. It will tell you how much to use and how often. And that's very important.
Yeah. I mean, we're all Americans here, so we like to go big or go home, but just not when it comes to stuff like that.
Oh,
just follow the
directions. That is so true. More is not better here. And so June is National Rose Month. I'm going to tell you about my favorite roses in the next hour. And yes, they're not only pretty, but they're fragrant. What is a rose without a fragrance? I only buy roses that are fragrant.
Am I the only one who actually gets really mad whenever you walk up to smell a rose and you're like, ah, biscuits, it doesn't smell at all.
Exactly.
Like, why did I bend over?
Exactly. I have beautiful flowers popping up all over in my front yard and my gardens today. So I'm going to tell you what else to do in the month of June. And then Father's Day is June 15th. It is, I think, sometimes overlooked and not paid as much attention to as Mother's Day. Dads are important. So I hope everyone is getting their father a present. One of the best legacies and gifts I think you can give to your father or mother is a tree. Dana Venrick's coming up. He's going to join us, and he's going to give us ideas on the best trees to plant for Father's Day from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We're having an early Father's Day interview this morning. We have our wonderful sponsor, advertiser, Dana Venrick with Quality Green Specialist, and he is a father. And good morning, Dana. How are you?
Oh, good. Good morning, Teresa. I'm fine, and you?
I am great. Thank you. So Father's Day is going to be next week. Tell us about your family, Dana. Do you have any special plans with your daughter for Father's Day?
Well, I plan to talk with her on the phone. She is not going to be close. Actually, she's visiting Poland. She called me from Warsaw, said she's seeing many beautiful things there. And so, but we'll be there mentally and by phone.
Well, that is...
My daughter is a fifth-generation Floridian.
Wow.
And she is a radio personality in San Diego. A lot of times she's top rated. She's on 94.1 FM, which is an iHeart station.
Excellent. I did not know that. Well, that's why you're so good on the radio. It's in your genes.
Yeah, we're like two peas in the pod.
That's great. So, Dana, one of the best gifts I think you can give on Father's Day is a tree and planting a legacy with your children and grandchildren. It's very poignant and loving. I did it with my dad. What kind of trees do you think would be good for Father's Day?
Well, absolutely. I'm going to tell you some great trees and hardy trees that dads would love to have, because dads like to lie on the couch too, you know. I mean, I just plant trees and take care of them and trim them and prune them and fertilize and water. But also get a few flowers. We have a beautiful new design for the front we did this week. So with some fire engine bright sun patience and some great crossanders that have that beautiful watermelon color. So, but the trees, wow, we've got the best selection of hardy and mainly native trees like oaks, hollies, red cedar, and many, many other types that you will love to have. Red maples, and you name it, there's a good chance we have it.
That is great for native plants, because people are always asking me where they can go get native plants and trees, and I definitely tell them Quality Green Specialists in DeLand. And so the trees, every time I come, I'm amazed at how beautiful they are, how tall they are, and do you deliver, and can you get them their tree for their yard before Father's Day?
Yes, we can deliver within 1 or 2 days, and we can get them there this week before Father's Day, and maybe even the morning of Father's Day if for some reason things slid, you know, on your agenda.
Sure. If they're really, really, really busy and can't get there before then. So what tree is you really have a lot of and that's a really good tree that people would be probably surprised that can be grown really well here in Florida?
Well, amazingly, my choice would be the European olive, Olea Europa. It's an incredible tree. It's super hardy, and it's a tree of peace and long-lasting life because they will live up to several thousand years. And no tree looks better once it's growing out, and they stay smaller, like 25 to 30 feet, and have that frosty blue look, blue-green look.
Yes.
With semi-weeping effect. And then you get olives if you have certain varieties like we recommend. If you like olives, we have those too, like Arbequina, Chimlali, Corniki, and Cortina. We've had olives on those younger trees each of the last several years.
And so you don't even have to wait for them to grow 2 or 3 or 4 years to produce fruit. You've got them right now that have fruit on them.
You know, like, for example, Pequot takes like 5 to 6 or more years to start fruiting, but those varieties I mentioned will fruit earlier, like 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm. And so Florida's climate, so now this is a good climate, and we have good soil for olive trees?
We do. You know, olives will grow in any type of soil, like the rocky soil, like along the coast in Spain and Italy, but also in sandy soil, if you give them the minerals they need, and low nitrogen. And so that is really important. The only caveat is no water logging. If you have a place where water stands, where you've got big rain and you have standing water for a while, stay away from it. Stay where it's higher ground.
Right, so where it percolates well.
Drainage.
Okay, so Claremont would be a really good area for you. DeLand and Volusia County would be really good in most areas there. And then
absolutely. Most of these olives are rated through zone 11.
Wow. That's really great. So how tall and wide do olive trees get so that people can plan?
Well, most of the ones we have get like 25 to 30 feet max if you never prune them. But generally, olives, as a rule, are pruned every year as far as the maintenance of the tree. Some of the varieties, like Manzanilla, will get taller. But Most of them are smaller trees, 35 to 40 feet for the Cortina, which is a little bit taller, and 25-foot width. But most of them are like 20 to 25, like the Corniki and Arbequina, with a spread maybe of 15 feet.
Okay. So that could go in between houses or in the backyard very easily, and it provides a really nice canopy.
It's a front right corner of planting for me at my house and two homes, you know, in the neighborhood that I planted. And the one tree I sort of had a test tree because I'm the only one fertilizing. And I only put fertilizer, 8-11 fertilizer, every year about the 1st of February, last week of January, first week of February. And I've had lots of olives 4 straight years. This is the 4th year in a row, and it's full of olives right now.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll send you a picture of it.
Please do. And so what about pruning? What time of the year do you prune olive trees?
Well, University of Florida recommends March. Some growers do it last part of February. If there's no bloom or fruit on the branches, any branches that don't have any bloom or fruit by March, just trim them back maybe a third of the way as a general rule. If you have a lot of blooming fruit on the tree in March, wait until you pick the olive, like the first week of August here in Central Florida.
Okay.
Then you prune it back, and you want to spray those cut terminals with copper to prevent disease.
Okay, that's good to know. Okay, so
And then put, of course, nutritional spray too after that, but don't spray copper at the same time you spray the other nutrients.
Okay, that's really good advice. So now, for someone in a townhome or a condo, can olive trees be grown in a container? Is there a special variety that doesn't get too tall?
Well, you know, my wife and I were honored to be invited to Spain to visit Dr. Rajo, who's a professor emeritus at University of Cordoba, and he was the horticultural expert in the field of olives. He told us all about how they grow them there, and everywhere you look there in Cordoba, they have olives growing in these big planters in the city, on the streets. It's magnificent. They grow very well in containers.
Oh, wonderful. That is great to hear. Like if you have a courtyard or something, they look really nice. I know in Tavares at the Discovery Gardens, they have olive trees in their Mediterranean garden, and they look just lovely.
Easy to manage. It's actually on the approved tree list for the city of DeLand as a street planting, and they look really nice.
Excellent.
Dora has some on the between the sidewalk and the streets. They've been there for years. They're very easy to manage. They don't get too large. And they have olives occasionally on the street.
So the last time that I was there, you had loquats, and I was surprised to learn that there's more than one variety of loquat. So talk about that.
Well, there's dozens of different varieties. Like we have four varieties in stock right now, like Champagne, it's a California origin. It's great for making preserves, has thin peel, it's sweet and spicy, and very beautiful elongated fruit. We have Yehuda, which is pear-shaped, yellow-orange flesh. It's from Israel, small seed. Sherrywood, which has a deep orange flesh from California. And we have the best, Ed's Delight, with Florida origin.
Wow.
Excellent taste. Tastes like red table grapes. Yellow orange flesh, lots of flesh, smooth skins, thin skin, and it's very large.
We used to eat them as children growing up. There were loquats everywhere during the 60s. And I'm just telling you, it was a great fruit tree. And so,
I've made actually pie out of them. Use an apple pie recipe. Delicious pie.
There you go. That's a great, great idea. Yeah, that would be great because you get so many loquats on them, and you even have enough to share with the squirrels. And so,
absolutely, I'm getting hungry just thinking about how delicious that pie was.
And so, native trees, magnolias. You have fruit trees. Do you have plums?
We have a nice selection of plums and Little Jim magnolias right now, and many, many different varieties. And looking out at all the new things we've done, the native garden now, and the Eleocarpus, the Japanese blueberry they call it.
Yes.
And we have some beautiful mango trees right now and avocado trees.
Oh, wow.
Really are nice and 15-gallon and 7-gallon containers.
They can take them right home. So Quality Green Specialist is open 7 days a week. Father's Day is June 15th. So, Dana, will you be open on Father's Day if Dad wants to pick his own tree?
For the last minute, you could also get a gift certificate. We have gift certificates.
That is a great idea. And then Dad can come and select whatever he likes. So tell us where Quality Green Specialist is located and your hours, Dana.
335 West Michigan Avenue, just close to downtown off of 1792. And hours are 9 to 4 every day, including weekends.
Okay. And what is your website and phone number?
QualityGreenSpecialist.com. Our phone number is 386-734-8000.
Wonderful.
Remember.
Wonderful, Dana. Thank you so much. Give Stella our best, and you take care,
honey. Thank you. Have a great show.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye. That's Dana Venrick, Quality Green Specialist Nursery, and that's at 335 West Michigan Street in DeLand. And it's a lovely little city to go. You can spend the whole day walking the shops and underneath the oak trees and the parks, and then stop by and pick up a tree.
Yes, I love that. And, you know, if you're not sure what to get Dad, like you suggest, get a gift card. That's like the best idea ever.
For me, always.
Me
so
too.
Even on Father's Day, I could get a gift card every day and use them up. I love them. Big thank you to Dana Venrick. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. We're going to be right back. 1-888-455-2967. Or text 23680. Let us know you're out there. Welcome. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Now it's time for your gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 and let me know your question. Give us your name. And it could be a fake name. It could be Mickey Mouse. You know, we don't.
Just make sure you know that we're talking to you. That's yes. The thing. We do need at least know somewhat of your location. So if you don't want to give your exact city, give a neighboring city so that Teresa can give the right explanation of how to grow or fix your problem. And speaking of that, we did have a listener call in. Her name is Elizabeth, and she's up in the Palm Bay area.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Now, I also have a staghorn fern that has decided to not live in a tree, which this is her problem. It fell.
How many hundreds of pounds was it?
She said it was about 5 foot tall and 4 foot wide, I think.
Yeah, that could be a couple of hundred pounds.
Yeah, so what is she supposed to do? It's hit the ground, and, you know, unless you like own like a, you know, some type of commercial equipment, you're not going to be able to get it back up.
No, she's going to need, you know, man labor, and, you know, it's my suggestion, and I've had this with a couple of clients who the staghorn ferns got so big they couldn't live in a tree anymore, then broke the branch. Just leave it on the ground.
Okay.
It will be just fine. It will just start to grow more on the top rather than from the bottom, which is what the benefit of hanging it from a tree is, that it grows all the way around. So it's not going to die. It will be just fine. It'll get the rainfall just normally. It'll be underneath the canopy of the tree. And so, you know, that's fine. That's all you need to do. You don't have to pick it up off the ground.
Yeah, so just continue to do whatever care you've been doing. Like ours is just about that big too, and it fell out of the tree probably about maybe 8 years ago the most, and kind of landed on one of our dog crates that we had stored out there, and that's where it's been ever since. And Shrek, my husband is what we call him, is Shrek. Every day he has a banana, at least one banana a day, and he goes and he throws the peel on it, and it's been living its best life, and it's doubled in size, and
it likes where it's living.
There you go.
And it just must be just loving the dogs. The dogs must just, you know, love. And that gives it probably shade. Does it shade it?
There's shade. We have a shade that's underneath our cedar, some of our cedar trees.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that I call them guinea wasps. Like the little wasps?
Yeah.
Okay. I swear it's like it doesn't matter what I do. It's like they somehow find a way. To make a home on the corner of it.
Yes.
I get rid of them, and then they come back a few months later.
Yeah.
So,
that's kind of just the downside of having something that stays nice and moist.
Yes, but it did make me happy, like you said. Basically, if it falls and hits the ground, it can still live on the ground.
It will be just fine. Mother Nature is cool that way. And so that's wonderful. Also, too, there's different types of, staghorn ferns. So I love them. And they are going to get heavy eventually and fall. So you got to make sure you're bracing your tree. And you can put them in the crotch of the tree if there's room there. That's a really good way to do it. So this is June. What should you be planting this month? Well, it really is kind of hot here. And, you know, most of the vegetables that you can grow here are Caribbean during the summertime. And you could be growing amaranth, boniato, calabaza, chayote, cherry tomatoes. Now, and this is the part about and Everglades tomatoes. Tomatoes in the summertime do not germinate, do not produce fruit when the temperatures are over 85 degrees, except for cherry tomatoes and Everglades tomatoes. They produce all year round. But the bigger ones, the season for growing them is, you know, over. But if you have tomatoes that you've just planted, because they sell them in the stores.
I want to throw this mouse at you because I fall for this every time, and I just had to pull all my tomatoes out of the ground. But go ahead. Yes.
You can keep them growing, and as they approach September and October, when the temperatures start getting cooler, they will still continue to grow. And so I don't know if you had to pull them out of the ground.
They look raggedy.
Oh, well, if they're old, were they from last year?
No, they were like from 3 months ago, and like 2 months ago, two months ago.
And they looked raggedy. Oh,
they look raggedy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. And so you could just keep them growing through September and October, and they will continue to produce. Now, if they're last year's tomatoes, Yeah, you might as well chuck them and get new ones. But wait until the fall. We start planting tomatoes in August, and then by the time September, October comes around, they are transplant size and, you know, it can start producing fruit. And then the jicamas and lima beans, Seminole pumpkins, sweet cassavas, sweet potatoes, and yard-long beans. You could also do the Asian spinach, the Korean spinach, the Malabar spinach. They will take the heat, and they still taste great. They have that peppery spinach taste and wonderful. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. So now the flowers, you can go into Dana's Nursery Quality Green Specialist, see all the beautiful annuals and perennials blooming. Go into nurseries, and there's so many, hundreds of annuals and perennials that you can plant right now that will add color to your garden. But these are some of my favorites. Okay, angelonias. Angelonias come in pink, white, and purple. Beautiful little annuals to put in your garden, in your front yard, or in a container as your either your thriller or your fillers. Begonias, bush daisies. Bush daisies are doing really well right now. Beautiful. They like full sun. They can handle the rain or less rain. They're very drought tolerant. Butterfly plants, buddleias. Buddleias are so beautiful. They smell great. I use them for potpourri. And so there's so many great butterfly plants, buddleias that do not get tall. They're a really low, medium-sized shrub now, and they add so much color to your garden. Caladiums. I received new caladiums from Brent and Becky's Bulbs to trial. I'm going to be talking about those in a few weeks, and you'll be excited when you hear about these caladiums.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay, so caladiums are a really great choice to add to your garden. Cat whiskers. Cat whiskers are beautiful. They wave in the wind. They're kind of tall, and they make a great background plant. Celosia and coleuses. So many types of coleuses. And then also coreopsis and Dalberg daisies, fire spikes, 4 o'clocks, gaillardias, gerbera daisies, and gingers, spiral gingers, goldenrod and impatiens, calanchos. Calanchos grow all year round. They're blooming right now. They're succulents. They do really well with less water. Or if you travel a lot, calanchos are very good. Lantana. With all the rain we've been having, Lizzie, I have a couple of clients that the lantana died on them.
What?
When have you ever heard lantana dying?
It takes a lot to kill lantana.
Yeah, but with all the rainfall, we get Orlando, 14 inches of rain in 1 month. You know? So I'm going to continue. We have lion's ears, marigolds, melopodium, and then also Mexican sunflower and moonflowers. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
And my top five this morning is garden art to showcase your personality. My first one, gazing balls or some kind of mirror reflection, mosaic, blown glass that reflects your garden back to you. So I love gazing balls. Garden signage, whether it's careful fairy crossing ahead, or Grandpa's Garden for Father's Day, Welcome to My Garden, or my favorite one, Ring Bell, If No Answer, Pull Weeds. Number three, whimsical art, ceramic and copper mushrooms, I just ordered some, blown glass birds, fairies, and colorful blown glass fairy houses at the base of your trees. Lovely. Whimsical art is great. Cement statues or cement items. Cement gnomes, cement life-size children, bird baths, cement seating. Cement looks really nice and it can age in your garden. And the last one is sound. wind chimes, bamboo pipes, moving water features, copper rain chains, and glass rain collectors. So add some garden art that will reflect your personality in the garden. And I love that.
Yeah. And if you would like some ideas, you can just go to Teresa's Facebook page, because she's been posting this stuff from her last trip that she had.
Yes.
Amazing. Very jealous. absolutely. I want to be a multimillionaire so I can buy every one of those things that you posted, because they are gorgeous.
I know. And it's so nice. And it doesn't. So we have the people who have garden art placed elegantly and very nicely in their gardens and their landscape and their yards. And there are then the others who go overboard. And it seems like they have a yard sale in their yard with all the art in it. And those are interesting to see. Have you ever seen those? Have you seen the ones with 50 to 60 flamingos in them?
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, and it's funny, I have a friend of mine that I went to high school with, and he is a sculptor and a designer. Like, he sculpts foam.
Yes.
And then he can cover it. And it's like the big things that you see, like pillars and stuff.
Uh-huh.
He makes those.
Oh, that's cool.
And so I'm thinking about reaching out to him and maybe sending him a couple pictures of some stuff that I kind of like and see if he can make something. Yeah. And for my
little
area.
That's good to know. I like that, because then I can kind of mention that for my clients and a column or a pillar in their yard.
Yeah.
A folly.
Yeah. Because whenever we were having a building built at my other job that I used to work for, that was one of the things. My demand was I wanted an 8-foot Tyrannosaurus T-Rex in the middle as you entered the building. And they actually said yes, but the weight would be too heavy. And I said, no. I have a friend who's hired by like Universal, all these different companies, and he can make it out of foam and it won't weigh that much.
That's great. Maybe he can do a staghorn fern that won't get too heavy. So there you go. Okay, so we've got some great text messages. So Pinky in Port Orange, she says, can I use the moss that grows on my oak trees as mulch in my garden beds and in my planters? I heard they have a lot of beneficial insects. Yes, they do. And yes, you can. I will tell you what I use the moss for, Pinky, is I place them in my planters and in my floral displays on the top. So it kind of looks soft and the green moss looks really cool around it. And I get green moss on my front steps. So I have a lot that I just dig them up, just take a shovel and dig it up and place it in my garden. Now, composting it, yes, you can do that too as well. But I would just lay it out on the top of your lawn or in your garden beds. I'm sorry, in your garden beds. And it looks really cool. You can also place it in your compost pile. So, yes, it's a great way to recycle it. And it's so beautiful. And I love it. So here is the question of the day. And I will tell you, it's been my dilemma for the last 2 months. Deb in Stewart says, I have texted about Podocarpus hedge not surviving. If 20 planted, 15 I'm losing. They are watered with irrigation. I have fertilized. And to replant new bushes, what do you recommend to treat the dirt prior to planting? Thank you, Deb in Stewart.
Okay.
I will tell you, I've had issues this year for the first time in 20 years with Podocarpus. And I've had issues with them in Lake Nona. And then I've had issues in Claremont. And my poor landscaper, you know, these Podocarpuses are dying. Now, there's a couple of reasons for it, and for different reasons and in different cities. And this is why I mentioned the two different cities. Lake Nona and Celebration and Walt Disney World are swamps. They are literally, they're building on swamps. So the soil stays wet. And Podocarpus likes to have a good establishment with water, but too much of it will cause them to rot.
Oh.
But now in Lake County, in that Lake Wales Sandy Ridge area, the sand, you can't water them enough, and they could be dying because of that. So you want to make sure that it's getting regular water to get established, but you don't want to overwater. And we're getting this rainfall and the ground is staying saturated, then, you know, that's going to be an issue. So what I would do, Pinky, is it Pinky? No, Deb and Stewart, is I would get a soil test of the area before you replant those hedges. Find out what the nutrition is. Find out if you have any disease issues. And then how are you watering? If you're watering too much with this rainfall, you're exacerbating the issue, okay? But you just want to make sure you get them established. So I would find out what's going on in the ground. You may even want to pull up one of the podocarpus that has browning on it so that you can kind of see what's going on with the root ball. You can't tell from above ground, but you can dig it up, look at the roots. If the roots are only 3 to 4 inches long, then it's literally rotting in the soil. But if it's really dry and not getting enough water because you're in Stewart, check the pH. They should be able to take a little bit of salt water and salt tolerant, but too much may be bad for them. So I don't know where you're exactly in the area along the beach there in Stewart. So find out that information, get a soil test, check the soil, pull one of them up, look at the root ball. If they've been in a while, they should have good white fleshy roots. If you do not see roots, then they're getting too much water, okay? And so then you just need to adjust it. You can use a fungicide to spray the ground before you replant, but get that soil test first. So that's a great question. So thank you, Deb and Stuart. I am with you in spirit, Deb, okay? Just totally with you. So Linda Zombi is really funny. She says, good morning. I'm so sorry I did not get to text earlier when the DeLand Quality Green Specialist was on. My question, she says, for him is, Dana, do you have an olive tree with pitless olives stuffed with pimento instead? And so, yes, I really love it when he's on. He's such great guidance. And yes, he is, Dana. Linda, he's a great fountain of information. If you have questions in the Volusia County area, head to DeLand Quality Green Specialist, and he can help you do that. I don't think she's going to find stuffed pimento olives. I don't think there's such a variety. But you can check, Linda, but thank you for your text messaging. We're going to come back, and we are going to have a great discussion on roses. June is National Rose Month. You may want to get a pen and paper because I'm going to list my favorite fragrant roses that do well here in Florida, and also how to take care of them. We have beautiful roses here in Florida, and there's so many good new varieties out there. And so you want to get your list, and I'll be able to tell you that.
Well, and also go ahead and text us right now, 23680, and tell us what your favorite rose is.
Oh, so, that's a great idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd love to hear that. And then also, too, we're going to have our dirty word of the day. And take your gardening questions at 1-888-455-2967, or you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. 2967 or text 23680, and we'll be able to help you. You can also go on to my website, www.she-consulting.com, and sign up for our newsletter, which is going out this weekend. I am trying to get there. Yay! It's going to go out there. Great article by Lizzie and pictures of her garden and my landscape malpractice. Wait till you see it. It's That's how right. to know when to fire your landscaper. And my plant of the month is great. Yes. So my design tips and what to do in your yard. So
yes, the malpractice thing I absolutely love to read because, you know, you even if you don't have a landscaper, there's something that you may be doing wrong that you can correct.
Yeah, and it's just fun to read, and I have landscapers tell me that they read and they watch and they look for their landscapes in landscape malpractice. So
no
harm there. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed any of the show or you want to go back to listen to any of the other shows, go to www.betterlawns.com and you can catch all of our podcasts there.